This is our number
two, 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 two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, Nicole's looking at me saying, what's wrong? What's wrong? I'm a tortured artist. That's what's wrong.
I know, you're just sitting over there thinking. You're laughing at your jokes in your head.
Well, I am. Because I just love the idea from our texter that the mobile heroin death RVs should have the ice cream truck music. And so now I'm trying to think of the songs that they should play on the heroin death.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the one that was always playing when I was a kid was... This is the one we'd go running from blocks and blocks away to chase down. So I was trying to come up with lyrics, but I couldn't come up with them fast enough. That's why I was so tortured. I have the first line, because isn't it round and round the mulberry bush? The monkey chased the weasel.
The monkey thought it was all in fun.
Something like that. Pop goes the weasel. So I've got the first line and I've got the last line. Round and round the poppy bush. But I couldn't come up with anything that rhymes with needle because pop goes the needle.
The junkie chased the needle.
Well, but you can't rhyme needle with needle.
Weedle? You want to throw the weedle in there?
No, because nobody knows what the weedle is besides you and me.
But it's pop goes the weasel because the weasel.
No.
And so it's weasel weasel.
No,
so
you go, pop goes the needle.
I know, but what I'm saying is needle is the same word. So in the rhyme, weasel is the same word both times.
So
it's not a rhyme.
You stick with pop goes the weasel?
Yeah. All right.
Wait, so what are you thinking, Sean?
I the only other word I thought that rhymes with needle, by the way, great line. I thought of it, too, before you even said it. I was like, pop goes the needle.
Yeah.
Weedle. I don't know. Do we want to include
the old
weedle?
Sonic's mascot?
Yeah. Weedle on the needle.
Yeah, but how do you fit that into round and round the poppy bush?
No, yeah.
The junkie chased the needle.
Then the junkie thought 'twas all in fun. Pop goes the needle.
There you go.
Well, no, but then you're rhyming needle with needle.
That's how the song is. No, it's the weasel weasel.
Oh, the monkey chased the weasel.
Weasel. The weasel thought 'twas all in fun.
The monkey thought 'twas all in fun.
Pop goes the weasel.
So we're still rhyming needle with needle.
Yes, but that's what you do.
And round and round the poppy bush. See, this is why I'm so tortured. I know. This is an obnoxious segment. But if I had been able to think of it during the news, I try to write stuff during the newscast.
You were going to sing it for us?
I was going to, but I couldn't come up with it, so we had to workshop it on the air live. So round and round the poppy bush, the junkie chased the needle. The junkie thought 'twas all in fun. Pop goes the needle.
That's perfect.
People did say beetle rhymes with needle, but we don't need that word. It's the same word.
Who needs a show meeting before the show? Not Dory Monson.
Oh, man. Okay, let me get the music now. Except this isn't in my key. Round and round. See, it's too loud. Round and round the poppy bush. The junkie chased the needle. The junkie thought 'twas all in fun. Pop goes the needle. So that works?
Yes.
Wow. Can you do that again? That was mildly entertaining.
But I feel like I should be singing it an octave higher, but I don't think I can.
You want me to see if I can find some music that's lower?
Round and round the poppy bush, the junkie chased the needle. The junkie thought 'twas all in fun. Pop goes the needle. Jeez. Okay. Highest rated touch.
I know. What are
Seattle.
We doing?
In heaven's name, did that happen? Okay. So anyway, thank you for. And if you have better suggestions. Like I said, I'm just trying to squeeze in this writing during the news breaks at the top of the hour. And we're just limited. We're limited in what we can do when we come up with ideas on the air. Okay, let's see. What else is going on here? Finally, it looks like people are fully rebelling against the jobs tax. The folks at Crosscut, they just did a poll And the people of this region have had it with spending on homelessness. According to this poll, they got an independent company. 800 likely voters were polled. And they said, first of all, it's likely voters in 2019. When you'll have a chance to vote 7 of the 9 weasels on the Seattle City Council out of office and restore some sanity around here, buying heroin. Latest thought. 88% of respondents said homelessness is either extremely or very serious. Only 1% said it's not too serious. They said that there's strong dissatisfaction with how elected officials are dealing with this. 80% are very or somewhat dissatisfied with how the city council has addressed the rising cost of housing. That's because they have contributed with all their taxes and fees and hookup for water, hookup for electricity, the water runoff scam, all of that. 83% are dissatisfied with how the city council has addressed the homelessness issue. 51% said they are in the worst critical category, very dissatisfied. And only 29% thinks that city government needs more tax money to deal with this. And by the way, those 29% are insane. Our government has plenty of our money. They have record amount of our money. The city, the county, the state, they are taxing us at the highest level, adjusted for inflation, adjusted for population growth. Per capita taxation, city, county, state is the highest that it has ever been in our history. We're spending almost twice as much as similarly sized Boston. Money is not the problem. The problem is that we have really unintelligent people on the city council. And they don't want to save lives. They don't want to solve problems. They want to create as many problems as possible so they can expand government. And by the way, the reason why the city council members won't come on this show is not because they disagree with me ideologically. They know that their insane ideas could not withstand the scrutiny of tough interrogation. And I think deep down, they know that they're not very smart. The people, and I have lots of Democrat politicians who come on this show, and most of them just believe in what they're saying and want to debate on it and are confident enough in their position. And I will once again publicly extend the offer to every single member of the Seattle City Council. Now, O'Brien and Johnson, Mosqueda and Juarez and Gonzalez and Bagshaw and whoever else, Harrell, all of them. Come on in here. See if your vision for this region, where you have destroyed a formerly great city, and I love this city. That's why if everybody, you hate it so much, move. I don't hate the city. I hate what our politicians have done to it. I love the city. I want to save this city. And so any one of you wants to come on and see if you can defend the way that you approach drugs and homelessness and spending and income disparity that you talk about and taxation. Any one of you, every one of you, has an open invitation to come in here and debate these things. But I know that none of them have either the integrity, the brains, or the conviction, because they know. I'll give you another challenge. I've made this challenge to politicians before. You want to come in here and answer my tough questions about your true motives, and we'll hook you up to a lie detector. And if if you can truthfully say that your motives are pure and not about growing government and spending money and taxing more, you can prove that. Prove that to me. Prove that to the people. Open invitation. Next up in the Fastest 15, did either of you, Sean, Nicole, did you ever watch Anthony Bourdain?
No, I really haven't.
I have not.
I watched it here and there.
Yeah, I know some people who are just passionate and said, he's what I want to be, a world traveler and a foodie and a drink expert and a storyteller. And I know so many people who loved everything that he did. And, man, I tell you what, this second celebrity suicide, both, isn't that weird? Both by hanging. Kate Spade 3 days ago and Anthony Bourdain hanged himself in a France hotel room early this morning. It's just an unbelievably sad story. And the thing is, apparently he's battled depression because this is a guy, as I said, lots of money, lots of celebrity, and every time he was on the air, he seemed to, you know, just have the world by the tail. But Anthony Bourdain was a tortured guy, and he would talk about being depressed. He would talk about, do we have the Bourdain?
Yeah, they're called Anthony.
Oh, Anthony. Okay. Here's, he on a show about 2 years ago, he talked about how something very simple could send him into a multi-day depression spiral.
I will find myself in an airport, for instance, and I'll order an airport hamburger. It's an insignificant thing. It's a small thing. It's a hamburger.
Yeah.
But it's not a good one. Suddenly, I look at the hamburger, and I find myself in a spiral of depression.
Yeah.
That can last for days.
A bad hamburger could send him into a multi-day depression. And he said that he felt like a freak at times.
I feel like a Quasimodo, the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
If he stayed in nice hotel suites with high thread count sheets, that would be me. I feel kind of like a freak, and I feel very isolated. I communicate for a living, but I'm terrible at communicating with people I care about.
And he said happiness would only come for very fleeting moments.
I have a couple of happy minutes there where I'm thinking, life is pretty good.
And I don't know if this was a factor, but he dated an actress named Asia Argento, who was one of the Harvey Weinstein accusers. And there were pictures of them just a few weeks ago. But about 3 days ago, she was photographed somewhere in Europe with some other guy. And they had their arms around each other and were hugging. So he may have just broken up with his longtime girlfriend. But also, like Kate Spade, Kate Spade had a 13-year-old daughter. Anthony Bourdain had an 11-year-old
daughter.
And
they both had said previously that their children or their daughters both
gave them reason to live.
Yeah. And both of them, at some point, I think that depression just like says, oh, they're better off without me. I mean, that's what I hear from those situations. And it's just so sad that he didn't get the help he needed.
For those of us who have not battled depression, and I never have, but I'm trying to be as understanding as possible. And what I've come to learn and understand is that if you haven't experienced it, you cannot imagine what people like Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain and the millions of others who battle clinical depression, we just can't imagine what that's like. And I can't imagine it, but I'm trying to be understanding of it because I don't think they're, you know, you know, like Kate Spade, writing in her suicide note to her 13-year-old daughter, it's not your fault, ask your dad. I mean, it just seems like evil, but...
Although hopefully she means, it's not your fault, ask your dad to verify
that. No, that's not what she meant. She
said hopefully.
No, she meant
it's your dad's fault,
and, you know, you ask him why I did this. It's just, it's a horrible thing, but they're just out of their minds. At that point. And also the notion of hanging because you're in a hotel room, you're a Robin Williams who did it from a closet door in his home. You're not hanging from 8 feet. you're hanging from about 3 feet, so you could stop it at any moment. But you must have so much self-loathing, because that's got to be just an unimaginably horrific way to die. And at any moment, you could just stand up and end it and stop it. But you've decided you need to torture yourself while you're killing yourself. Oh, it's just horrible. It's absolutely horrible. And then you have another really sad story. Charles Krauthammer, who's a brilliant man, long time. He's a conservative, but he's one who has always been willing to call out conservatives, and was very critical of Donald Trump and all of that. He wouldn't just toe a party line. And Charles Krauthammer, what a tough road he's had in life. He was a strapping young man when he dove into a swimming pool and he broke his neck and lost, he became a paraplegic and lost most of the function of his hands, too. But became this incredible writer and thinker and then commentator. He wrote a letter this morning, and I'm just going to read it to you because it's a beautiful farewell by Charles Krauthammer. I've been uncharacteristically silent these past 10 months. He's been off the air and not writing for nearly the last year. I had thought that silence would soon be coming to an end, but I'm afraid I must tell you now that fate has decided on a different course for me. In August of last year, I underwent surgery to remove a cancerous tumor in my abdomen. That operation was thought to have been a success, but it caused a cascade of secondary complications, which I have been fighting in hospital ever since. It was a long and hard fight with many setbacks, but I was steadily, if slowly, overcoming each obstacle along the way and gradually making my way back to health. However, recent tests have revealed that the cancer has returned. There was no sign of it as recently as a month ago, which means it is aggressive and spreading rapidly. My doctors tell me their best estimate is that I only have a few weeks left to live. This is the final verdict. My fight is over. I wish to thank my doctors and caregivers whose efforts have been magnificent, my dear friends who have given me a lifetime of memories and whose support has sustained me through these difficult months. I want to thank my colleagues, my readers, and my viewers who have made my career possible and given consequence to my life's work. I believe that the pursuit of truth and right ideas through honest debate and rigorous argument is a noble undertaking. I am grateful to have played a small role in the conversations that have helped guide this extraordinary nation's destiny. I leave this life with no regrets. It was a wonderful life, full and complete with the great loves and great endeavors that make it worth living. I'm sad to leave, but I leave with the knowledge that I lived the life that I intended. And that is beautifully written. And here's a guy who had all kinds of reasons to be angry and bitter, paralyzed as a young man, and now with the cancer, but he just writes about being grateful, and he's a brilliant man. He's always seemed like nothing but the most decent of people. And Charles Krauthammer announced that he only has weeks to live. So sad news today. Krauthammer and Anthony Bourdain. And that there is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Hey, I've been telling you about this, what seems to me an insane dispute between two government agencies. A water district won't hook up water to a brand new $50 million school in Edmonds, which is going to be an unbelievable inconvenience to the kids and the families. I talked to the water district yesterday. I'm going to talk to the school district next on the Dory Monson Show. Well, there is a dispute between a couple of government agencies that I just find incredibly frustrating as a taxpayer, as a government watchdog. Yesterday, I talked to the Olympic View Water District, which will not hook up water to a brand new K-8 school in Edmonds because of some stormwater drainage dispute. And I heard from the water district yesterday, and I wanted to get the school district side of things. Kelly Franson is the spokesperson for the Edmonds School District and joins us here on Cairo Radio. Kelly, I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for contacting us.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand this and just recap for people who weren't listening to my show yesterday. So you guys just built a brand new K through 8 school, Madrona K through 8. It's a rebuilt school. It was about $50 million taxpayer dollars. It's going to be all set for the kids to move into in the fall, but they cannot because the water district won't hook you up to water. Is that a fair summation of things?
That is a pretty good summary right there, yes.
Okay. So your kids and families are going to have to go to a school, Alderwood School in Linwood, that's 15 minutes away.
I haven't driven it, but okay. That sounds like a good estimate of how long it would take.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so give me the school district's side of things and perspective on why this is happening.
Of course. Let me start out by telling you a little bit about Madrona K-8 because they are unique. Instead of traditional classrooms, they actually have multi-age classrooms. They combine a larger number of students in a big open space with two teachers. Madrona also is the home to our deaf and hard of hearing program for the area.
Okay.
So the new school, the brand new building, was designed specifically for Madrona's needs. That included a commitment to the environment, both above and below the ground. The community there is very involved in the environment and wants to make sure, you know, that was something that was brought to our capital projects team as being a priority with this. So we were excited to have the opportunity to use stormwater wells at Madrona because they actually replenish the aquifer with filtered water. And this isn't something that we've never done before. We actually used these stormwater wells at our new Lindale Elementary. We examined a similar system out of our district at Shorewood High School in Shoreline. We also spoke with the city of Redmond. They actually encourage stormwater well use in their area because they want to replenish the aquifer.
Okay, and let me make sure I understand because I don't know anything about this stuff. But so all the downspouts, all the drainage grates, everything that's gathered from rainwater runoff, it goes into these giant, essentially holding tanks, but they're wells. They're underground wells, right?
Let me try to explain this a little better. It is very confusing. Yeah. If you're not a hydrogeologist, and I am not, it can be pretty complicated. So let me try to break it down for you. We're dealing with basically runoff from the parking lot, runoff from the roof of the building, things like that. Something has to be done with that stormwater. The system that we are using that makes use of stormwater wells, actually the well is not the first step. The first step is for that water to go through a biofiltration process. If you've heard of a swale, which is basically a ditch with fancy plants and sand in it to filter.
Yes, yeah.
The water coming from the parking lot would actually go through that bioswale to, again, filter the water with the plants, with the sand. It would also go through an oil and water separator. So the water going into this well has already been through a filtration process.
Okay. And so
the reason the well is there, and this is where it gets important, and kind of technical, so bear with me here.
Okay.
The reason the well is there, there is a layer of impermeable soil that sits right at this place where we are. So we have to drill down to get below that layer. What's below that layer is a big layer of sand. So what we're doing is letting the water go through the impermeable layer and then seep into the sand. And that water coming out has, at a minimum, about 50 feet of dry sand before it would make it down to the aquifer. And that sand actually continues the filtration process.
So multiple filtration processes. Okay, so I get all of that. So as you guys are building the school, who is the permitting agency? The water district told me it was the city of Edmonds, which surprised me because I would have guessed it was Snohomish County. But I assume you got permits for this throughout the building process.
We have been working with the city of Edmonds and the Department of Ecology since the start of this. The city of Edmonds, yes, has to do the permit to build this system, and the Department of Ecology is the regulatory agency for stormwater.
Okay, so all of this was approved, you got permits for it, and you built the school with all that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now, as I understand it, the water district says, no, we're still worried that, and this sounds crazy to me, and I was very skeptical when I talked to them yesterday, but they said that they're afraid your water's going to get into the aquifer and it's going to taint their main source of water for all of their customers, and they are demanding something else. So what are they demanding here?
My understanding is that they want to be sure that they're protecting their water source, which I fully understand and respect.
Yeah, we all want water protection.
That water needs to be protected.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's no way around that. We're not trying to get around that by any stretch of the imagination.
So let me make sure I have this straight.
Agree.
So the Edmond School District is not trying to poison the water supply out there.
That is a firm no.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I understood that. Okay, got it.
A firm no on that.
All right.
But yeah, so what they are wanting from us, and they brought their concerns to us after we had been, you know, going through the permitting process with the regulatory agencies. They brought their concerns to us. We listened to them and tried to understand them, and did go back and had the designers of our program, you know, carefully go over everything to make sure we weren't missing something. We, you know, were in talks with the Department of Ecology. We were in talks with a hydrogeologist at the Department of Health to see if they had any, even though they're not a regulatory agency for stormwater, to make sure, you know, they didn't have any concerns at that point in the process.
Right. No, I get all that, but what do they want? What are they demanding you guys do to hook you up to water?
They don't like our monitoring plan or how we're testing the water that's going into these wells. And I can tell you the Department of Ecology requires 2 years of monitoring. We've extended our monitoring plan to 5 years. We're also testing for a lot more possible contaminants than what the Department of Ecology requires. And this was done because we did understand that the water district had concerns.
But
we wanted to be sure we were not missing something.
Right. Are you in violation of federal guidelines? Because that's what they suggest.
So, we are, like I said, it's the Department of Ecology here. I should say I don't know of any federal guidelines that we would be in violation of. We've been working with the Washington State Department of Ecology. We went through the, let me check the acronym to make sure I got this right, SEPA, State Environmental Policy Act determination early on in the policy. So we've been working through all along. Now one thing I have heard is the statement that we don't have a permit for this, and I just wanted to clarify how that falls into play on this. It's similar to with a building. There's a different permit to build versus the permit to occupy.
Right.
And so that piece that we don't have is the final permit to use it from the Department of Ecology, which can't happen until it's completed and in use and they can make sure everything's working as planned.
So if you guys don't move in the fall, all of this rainwater gathering from the parking lots and the roof, it's still going to be going into the system. And I'm trying to understand from...
It's going into it in a different way, is my understanding, because these stormwater wells are not in use yet. You know, some of them have been built, some of them still need to be built. But right now, the old building is using an older system where, you know, the water kind of runs down a hill and filters in, and that's not a good option anymore.
The thing they couldn't answer for me was, I asked, what are the chances that you guys would do any harm to their water system? And they don't know. They, you know, I said, is it 10%? Is it 1%? Is it 1/100th of 1%? And they don't know. And this is where I get frustrated as, you know, somebody who watches all of this nonsense with government agencies, because there has to be a cost versus benefit analysis at some point for the taxpayers. How much is it going to cost for you guys to move all your kids and all your families into this school temporarily in Linwood? And then once this thing gets resolved, you're going to have to move them all the way back into the new school. Do you have any idea how much this is going to cost the taxpayers for this?
I do not have a number on that. I don't have a number. It's obviously going to be an expense.
It's going to be very expensive.
As we were looking at what to do when, and like I said, we've been trying to negotiate with the water district since they first raised concerns. So this hasn't been, you know, we heard from them once and said no, and then expected them to suddenly change their minds. We've been working on this. When we realized we were almost to the end of the school year and had made no progress with them, we had to make the decision to do something. And yes, it is going to cost, but I can tell you it costs less for us to temporarily move the students than to try to keep them in the old building and further delay construction, the construction that needs to happen after that old building comes down.
Yeah. No, it's going to cost a lot. I mean, I was coaching at Shorecrest.
Right. Yeah. It's going to cost either way.
No, when we moved from the old Shorecrest into the new one when I was coaching, I mean, I know that that was a great expense, and to go, you know, to a building 15 minutes away and then have to move back. This is very frustrating. I'm sure you can imagine for your families and for the taxpayers and for people like me, two government agencies, and they just can't get together on behalf of the kids. And, you know, for me, it sounds like the water district is holding you guys hostage. I mean, they have something that's absolutely essential, and it sounds like they, you know, they just are holding you guys hostage right now.
We need the water to move in. We do need the water to move in.
Could we just buy a couple pallets of water at Costco and do that?
Well, the water that we move in is also going to have to go somewhere. So we do need to put it out through those stormwater wells at some point.
Okay. All right. Well, it's crazy. Keep me posted on how this goes. But, I watch stuff like this, and it increases my cynicism about government efficiency.
Well, I appreciate the time, and I just want to end by saying, you know, we are working to move forward on this. We're working on scheduling public forums with all involved parties, and that includes the Department of Ecology, and that includes the Department of Health. We do want to make sure we're not missing anything.
Hey, just
talk. Make sure this is correct, and that we can get it done as quickly as possible.
Talk to the Water District and offer this. Just tell them that if both sides will agree to use me as a mediator, I'll get this thing settled by the weekend. Okay.
I'll see what people think of that. I can't make any promises to you, but I'll mention it.
I guarantee people would love it. Okay. All right, Kelly, I really appreciate you coming on with me. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kelly Franson with the Edmonds School District. Your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. Much more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, in case you missed our big lead today, I will recap this in the big lead at 2 o'clock. The unbelievable suggestion at the city council meeting yesterday that the taxpayers maybe should start buying heroin for the junkies around here. And I thought it was interesting. I watched on Channel 4, ComoNews.com, there's an effort to ban straws in our area.
We all want to help the earth.
We're mostly worried about the sea creatures.
They really want to help a lot of different kinds of animals.
What a bizarre place. We want to ban straws, but have taxpayers buy heroin. Yeah, we'll get into all of that in the big lead at 2 o'clock. And an unbelievable high school track story coming up next.